Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. Excited to have you with us for this program with our guest, Natalie Latzka. She's the author of a wonderful book called Navigating True North. And we're going to be talking about leadership and the power of minimal facts. So if that's a new word for you, it was a new word for me. Minimal facts is a new concept. And I wanted to just dive in. We're going to be talking about the definition of minimal facts, how to apply minimal facts to the resurrection of Christ. And there are four facts that we can apply there. Why one of the most important things you can do for yourself is to understand what you believe and why you believe it, how to realize your life's purpose through the courage to stand. And Natalie's got an acronym for us there, as well as an acronym for CLIMB to help you climb to heights you cannot even imagine. Natalie Latzka is utilizing her legal background to find evidence for faith as she takes you on her journey from blind faith to bold faith. She's the author of Navigating True North, and you can learn more about her at natalielatzka.com or invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. I'm excited right now to have her join me here. Welcome to you, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Marnie. It's so nice to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And like I said, this is the concept of minimal facts. When I read your book, I was like, this minimal fact thing is really interesting. And it was your background as a mountain climber and a lawyer that really led you to put this book together, Navigating True North, to help us understand that we can, and I love blind faith, honestly. Blind faith is just beautiful, right? You don't know what God's calling you to. You just step out by faith and he carries you. But then there's a foundation under that blind faith. And that's kind of what you talk about. So maybe give us a little introduction to minimal facts and to why it matters.
Yeah. So the minimal facts, as an attorney, I really found like I needed evidence. And like you said, blind faith is beautiful. But I really needed to build confidence in what I believed. So I was really looking for evidence, and the minimal facts really provided me with a great point of evidence to believe and really understand what I believe and why I believe it. So the minimal facts were developed by a guy named Gary Habermas, who is an incredible academic. He has PhDs in both philosophy and history. And back in the 1970s, there were a lot of historians that were really attacking the Gospels in terms of arguing that they were not historically reliable. And so they were using those arguments to say that the Christian claims maybe weren't as reliable as we thought. But Gary Habermas really took that and turned it around and used history and historical methodologies to say, wait a minute, there are facts that almost no historian, whether secular or Christian, would deny. And what can you do with these? So the facts are that he came up with are that Jesus died on a cross, and there is very, very few historians or scholars that would say that is not a historical fact. Mm-hmm. That the tomb he was buried in was found empty, that his followers sincerely believed that they saw him again to the point where they really changed their behavior. Mm-hmm. After the death of Jesus on the cross, they went into hiding and following what they believed to be the resurrection, they spoke up and became, you know, massive, really pushed Jesus's message forward. And then the fourth one is that there were people that before Jesus died didn't believe in him, but people like his brother James and Paul, who really persecuted people that believed in Jesus. But after they came to the realization and truly, sincerely believed that he rose again, they completely changed their attitude and their behavior.
Hmm. Minimal facts, meaning you did not have to study the entire Bible. You don't have to understand theology. You don't have to know all of the prophecies. You don't have to know every last thing. It's like me walking into a room and flicking a light switch and the light coming on. That's really all I needed to know, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of what you realized, was that you didn't need to have every last fact in order to make a really good decision.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And what we find is that those minimal facts are all really pointed and focused on the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And we know that our Christian beliefs stand or fall on the resurrection.
Yeah.
And even Paul said that if the resurrection didn't happen, then our faith is in vain. Mm-hmm. So we know that if we can show that those facts are historically reliable, how much power that adds to our belief in the resurrection and in Jesus.
Right. We're coming up on Easter right now, and it's such a good time to, and I love remembering what Jesus did for me on the cross, but I feel like sometimes we leave him there and it's not the end of the story.
Absolutely.
This is, it was so wonderful and amazing what God had Jesus do for us and what Jesus did, but he is risen. He's risen. And that's what changes our lives going forward. Is it wasn't a historical event that's just stuck in history. He is a living Christ, a living Savior, which is so beautiful. Yes. You talk about it's being important for us to understand exactly what we believe and why we believe it. So what's the big deal about that?
Well, there's a couple different ways that it really changed my life to understand what I believed, and why I believed it. And first, I think it's important to know that the Bible encourages us to understand what we believe. In 2 Peter 3:15, he says, be ready to give a defense for your faith. And that was really important to me, because when I first really started questioning my faith and saying I needed more evidence to believe this, I felt guilty, because I felt like that was kind of the opposite of faith. But what it did was it allowed me to have confidence, to feel like I wasn't pointed in the wrong direction and just blindly following something. It gave me confidence to really know that what I believed was supported by evidence. So that's one of the first things I think was important to me, was to know that the Bible encourages us to do that.
I love that. I'm going to interrupt you right there, because I really want to hunker down on this, because it affects our faith in Christ and how we live that out. It affects every decision we make, actually.
Yes.
You have to, as a leader, you have to be confident in where you're leading your people. Mm-hmm. As a speaker, as an author, you have to feel confident that the message that you're giving is truth and not just an idea or a concept, but that there's some foundation to this. Yeah. And I really love this minimal facts thing, as it applies to everything. I just started thinking about it in every way. Like, it applies to decision-making in every way. You don't have to have every single fact, but you had better have the foundational facts nailed down. I loved what you said about when you first started questioning, you felt like that was the opposite of faith, but in fact, not at all. In fact, God loves it when we ask him to clarify, to help us understand. He says he gave the Holy Spirit as a counselor. Well, why would he do that if he didn't want us to understand? You know, I mean, he wants us to get to the core of it and to see what are the real facts here. And I feel like I've said this several times, but in 2020, I feel like what was lost as an American culture was the ability to know for sure that I was hearing the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as of 2020, things became so muddy, and I was, ever since that, I've been like, you know, and even before that, it was getting that way. But I feel like since 2020, I can watch the news and wonder every single time. I wonder which part of the facts they're not telling me, which minimal facts are they leaving out of this story that make the story different than the story that is really happening. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It makes it very difficult when you don't have the minimal facts. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way with COVID from the beginning. I felt like it was very difficult to understand what the minimal facts were. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And without minimal facts, it's very hard for us to make a good decision.
Right.
It's, you know, you're just basically, you know, hoping you're making the best decision. And I love it that God has made this really clear in Scripture. He has given us really clear minimal facts.
Yes. As and well the as beautiful one. Thing is it's is those aren't the only minimal facts out there. There's so much right. more right. that really help us to yeah. build this foundation of evidence and belief and to know that what we believe is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Can you remember what your second point was that you were going to make there? I've taken you so far down the rabbit trail that probably not.
Well, again, just kind of going back to why is it important to mm-hmm. be able to yeah. understand what you believe and why you believe it. As we kind of, as you've been alluding to, that it builds a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so when you are challenged, whether it be life challenges that come at you, that foundation of faith doesn't collapse because you mm-hmm. have evidence, you have understanding of what it means. And we know that we can expect this, right? Mm-hmm. And this doesn't collapse my faith anymore because yeah. right. I have that solid foundation to stand on.
For years, really decades, I really questioned the Bible about things like when it said, if you do not have God, you cannot love. And I would see people being very loving, but they had no mm-hmm. relationship with God. And I wondered about that until I understood that there were four kinds of loves. And that was talking mm-hmm. about the kind of love you could only have with God's love flowing through you. There's a bunch of human loves you can have without being a Christian, but there's the agape love that only comes as God's love flows through you. And as I came to understand the Bible better, I came into more of a strong, rock solid faith that if I don't understand something about it, it isn't because it's wrong. It's because I don't yet understand it. I haven't right. yet received all of the data. And so it's so wonderful, you know, your four rock solid foundational minimal fact points. So beautiful to have those locked down and to just know whatever else I don't understand, it will become clear. I just need to walk on in yes. faith. Yeah.
Right. On those and that's things. Really become my new definition of faith. Is that I want to understand what I can understand mm-hmm. and then trust God for the rest.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I want you to take us into your acronym STAND. So maybe first give us kind of the overview of it and then we'll kind of pick it apart a little bit.
Yeah, so when I was able to kind of reorient myself and rebuild that faith foundation that had really collapsed beneath my feet, I was really determined to say, I want to use what I learned. I want to lean on what I learned in every aspect of my life and every day. So when I was back in law school, I used to use mnemonics to help me when I was, you know, taking a test or something like that. So it would really trigger what I wanted to remember. So that's what I did is I kind of put what I learned through my study into mnemonics. And I tried to find words that were very meaningful. Me, and especially with my mountain climbing background, the words stand and climb were just so meaningful to me. So I used those as my foundation. And the word stand for me represents what I want to do every day to live like Jesus. And so each of those letters represents a different concept that I want to remember on a daily basis. So the S stands for seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. T stands for time. A stands for attitude of altitude. N stands for navigate with the Holy Spirit. And D stands for do it.
Like it, do it. Okay, so stand, S stands for, hang on, I want to flip this over here so I have my seek first the kingdom of God. You know what I love about that verse, and I have memorized that verse for decades. I love that verse. It says seek first the kingdom of God and all of the rest of what you need will be added to you. And I love that we get to start there, right? Mm-hmm. That we don't have to start with, let me make sure that every duck is in a row and then I can focus on God. It's the exact right. opposite, which is really opposite.
Yes. 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 So seek first. And sometimes that's the first thought that comes into my mind when I wake up in the morning, when I go through my stand, mnemonics and seek first the kingdom of God. That's where my focus needs to be first and foremost every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first. And then time. You want time to build your relationship with God as well as to allow him to work in your life. And yeah. I always, my line is there's time to do everything God wants you to do. There's not time to do everything. There's not time to do everything good. There's not time to do everything everybody else wants you. And there's not even time to do everything you want to do. But because God is God, there's absolutely time to do everything he wants you to do. And there's so much comfort in that.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, time has really come, is about not only building that relationship with God, which obviously takes time. If you're going to build a relationship, build a friendship, you need that time set apart to do that. But it also, for me, has come to mean time to give God time to do what he needs to do in your life. It doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't.
So I need to give God time to give me direction, have me follow him and get to that destination he wants me to be at.
I love how you said that. I have a phrase I use. I give God the benefit of the doubt, which is like, if he isn't showing up, there's probably a really good reason, you know, like that. Recently, just went through something with one of my mentees and it was so horrible. It's like, you know, God is, he always comes through the midnight hour, you know, so many times he has us wait right till that deadline. But in this situation, and I compare it to like John being boiled in oil, in this situation, it's like he went past the midnight hour. Things looked, it was beyond hope. It was, it was ended. There was no hope. And then God did the miracle at that point, which, you know, time is just one of those things. He asks us to trust him and it's timing is really tough. I think I say one of the things that will surprise us most when we get to heaven is how much timing was related to most of the things that confused or concerned us here.
Yes. That's such a great point.
Yeah. Yes. Stand. So seek first the kingdom of God and then time. Be aware that God does not work in our time, but that his timing is perfect. A is, I love this attitude of altitude.
Yeah. So attitude of altitude is really living above the ways of the world. And that's what Jesus primarily taught when he was here with us on earth. He said, the kingdom of the world, is going to get you lost, right? So look to the kingdom of God. And that's, those ways are above the world. Those are different than the world. So we have to look constantly at life from that attitude of altitude and the way that Jesus taught us to live.
I think of soaring like a eagle who just flies right into the storm. Flies right into it. And then also Peter walking on the water, look up more than you look down, you know, just this attitude of altitude. And when I'm saying the Lord's Prayer every morning, the very first part of the Lord's Prayer is our Father, which art in heaven. You know, immediately it says, God is higher than we are. His perspective is broader than ours. He can see things in the past, in the future, in the present. He can see it all at once. And I love that his altitude, like a helicopter pilot who can tell you in advance there's a traffic jam. I love that God's altitude makes it possible for him to prepare us in advance for the things that are coming toward us. And that A for altitude, attitude of altitude, that's just cool. What does N stand for?
N stands for navigate with the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, that's something I'm still really working on is how do we, you know, grab the power of the Holy Spirit and make that part of our life. And I think that was something that Jesus left us, right? He left us saying, I'm giving you this great amount of power in my spirit. And we saw what it did for him and his life. And he said, you can do things even greater. So navigate with the Holy Spirit. I've really, again, I'm still learning on that one, but really taking the time to say, when I'm faced with a situation, to say, God, take over, give me direction, be my guide as I'm walking through this and navigating that way through life, not relying on myself, but plugging into that power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I like that verse that says, be drunk with the Spirit and not drunk with wine. And, you know, I have this picture of a friend of mine who was at one point very drunk, and we were trying to navigate her, and really the alcohol was in control. She was out of control. The alcohol was in control. And whenever I think of that verse, I think of that. I think of, you know, that being just willingly saying, I'm just going to go and do what you equip and empower me to do. And I'm not going to have to understand it, or that's where, to me, the blind faith is so beautiful too. Sometimes God asks us to do things that look really foolish, like, you know, the three Hebrew boys, let's just keep standing instead of bow down. We get thrown into the fire or whatever. You know, I mean, sometimes the choices that he calls us to make do not look wise. They do not look fun. They're very scary or very bigger than we are. And he's calling us to just trust the Holy Spirit. I love that. The other thing that came to mind when you were talking about navigating with the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And my husband has this thing where he goes, if I am being patient with you right now, it's probably not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is actually patience.
Yeah.
It's not the determination not to be angry. It's actually patience. It's a fruit that flows. And it is so much joy how God has put us together in such a way that we get something first before we can share it. So if I need patience for you, I get the patience first and then I get to share it. If you need love, I get the love first and then I get to share it. It's this beautiful system where God blesses us every time before he uses us to be a blessing, which I just think is so amazing.
Right.
So D stands for do it.
Yeah. So boy, I've really realized this one along my way is that, that faith requires action. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways that that's true. Action just to put it in God's hands. You know, I mean, so often I continue to hold on to it and say, I can deal with this, or it weighs me down so badly, but to actually just open up my hands and say, I'm giving it to you. And that requires action. And then just so much of every day requires action, just in our daily lives. When we see somebody that needs help, and it can be as simple as being at the grocery store and somebody's short money and saying, hey, I got this, you know, something like that. So really, that commitment to doing it, to taking action, has been so important for me.
Yeah, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to live it, right?
Absolutely.
which is kind of your next acronym, which is CLIMB. So it's one thing to stand. It's a whole other thing to climb, right? That takes two different levels of energy.
Absolutely. And one thing that I have kind of realized as I've lived by the stand and climb mnemonics is that in the mountains, it takes so much effort to climb. You know, sometimes you're just struggling to put one foot in front of the other. But in life, when we stand for God, the climbing becomes easy, right? Because he is taking such a burden from us. So climb really represents for me what I can expect when I take the effort to stand and have the courage to stand, and what God has promised me when I do that. So CLIMB stands for continued challenge, which we can talk about. The L stands for life abundantly and eternally. The I is insights and fruits of the Holy Spirit. The M is for my purpose and my significance, that I find that in life. And the B is that it allows me to move forward with a bold faith.
As we're talking about this climbing, there was a time when God was calling me to a new season, and he took me on this circuitous route, and I ended up sitting in front of this sheer rock face. It was outside of a hill. There were very little green or trees on it. It was pretty sheer up. And as I sat down there to have a few minutes with God, he just put in my heart, that's where you're going. I said, the top of that. And I thought, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, right, I know. That's why you need me. But I said, well, I just, there's no way I could climb something like that. And he said, right, you need me. And then he just said, what it's going to be is that you're going to barely scrabble kind of onto onto a landing, and then you'll have a little rest, and then I'll take you just to the new height. And then you have a little rest there, and then I'll take you to the new height, and you have a little rest there. And that's how we're going to go to the top. And it was an analogy for life for me. But when I was thinking about your climbing and that you said it was easy compared when you are standing firm, then the climbing with Christ in real life is easier than climbing a mountainside. Whoa. Because he does. It's like when you're climbing a real mountain, you are physically needing to do it on your own. Whereas when you're climbing spiritually, he's like got his hand pulling you up as well as his hand pushing you up, and mm-hmm. he's all around you, and you're secure and it's okay. It's so different.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
So talk about the sea.
Okay. So the sea is continued challenge, and that's usually not what somebody wants to hear when they say, you know, what is the result right. of stand. Mm-hmm. But for me, that was so important to know that there would be continued challenge, because first of all, Jesus never promised us there wouldn't be, right? Yeah. And I think for so long, I believed that, that my faith would protect me from continued challenge. And while it does, it doesn't stop the challenges from
right.
coming.
Right.
And Jesus said, I'll walk with you through the challenges and mm-hmm. I'll guide you through that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was really important to know that I couldn't expect that life was just going to be a breeze and that there wouldn't be that continued challenge. So that was one thing for me that I needed to remember.
Yeah.
Don't let your faith crumble, because there will be continued challenge. So that's what the C stands for.
Yeah. And it is, I always wonder about, you know, people that believe that once you become a Christian, you no longer have challenges, like you yeah. shouldn't have problems in your life, or you don't have very much faith. And I just think, what Bible did they read? Because the one I read has got all kinds of challenge right up to the end of time, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and even John, like we said earlier, is boiled in oil, but then he was also sent out to Patmos where it was hot. And if you can, you know, after you've been burned, then you are much more susceptible to the heat of the sun. So he was sent out there. And this is the disciple that Jesus loved, the one that mm-hmm. was like God's, you know, Jesus's favorite buddy. Mm-hmm. And he let him suffer so much in his earthly body. It's not that we will not suffer. It's that when we suffer, we do not suffer alone. And that there is a purpose in it, that God has a reason for allowing it. And a lot of that we won't know until we see him, but he right. does have a reason for that continued challenge. And it is often used to draw us closer to him. I think that's right. almost always a byproduct, if not the reason for it.
Right. And I think too that as I talk to people, it is one of the main reasons why people say, I don't believe. Because if God loved me, he wouldn't let this happen to
yeah,
me.
He yeah.
was a good God, this wouldn't happen. But that's yeah. not what the Bible mm-mm. Bible promises. So we have to remember that there will be continued challenge.
Right. We are on earth and this is not heaven yet. So this right. is how it is. Life right. abundantly and eternally, the L.
Yeah. So that for me was really the realization that so often I think as Christians, we think, well, the goal is to get to heaven. And of course, that's the goal, is to be mm-hmm. eternally with God forever. But Jesus really showed us how to live here and now. Yeah. And he said, my kingdom is here and this is what I'm offering you right now. So with that information, I really realized that life can be so abundant and wonderful right now here on earth. So that's part of what I wanted to remember, is that life is now, it's eternal. But let's do what we can now to just enjoy it and show others how life can be so abundant.
Abundant life is just so different from just barely hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
It is full. It is there. It's purposeful. You've said that a couple times in this
yes.
conversation, purpose, and it has a meaning. Even if it's tough, there is a purpose in it.
Right.
And you're confident
yes.
that God is going to bring good. Yeah.
Yeah. And abundance doesn't always mean wealth, and it doesn't mm-hmm. always mean a lot of yeah. material stuff. But I have learned that abundance in terms of peace and confidence and all of those things are mm-hmm. far more valuable than any right. material item I could ever yeah. have.
Right. right? I stands for insights and fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And this is something you alluded to earlier. Mm-hmm. And really that when we take that effort to stand and focus on God every day, navigating with the Holy Spirit, we're promised that we will have those fruits of the Spirit. And those are all wonderful things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. And all of those things are just bring us such a sense of life, again, leading to that abundant life, but also lead others to God, right? Because we have those fruits that are hanging from us that other people can see, and they want to reach out and say, let me understand how you're doing this and how you're living your life. And really those fruits show the strength that we have in God.
I remember the first time I understood that as a branch, that I was a fruit bearer. In other words, I hold the fruit, but I don't have to produce the fruit. The fruit is produced by my relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, and He is actually producing the fruit. I'm just holding it, like, so people can pick it off and enjoy it.
Right.
And it's such a different feel from me trying, like I said earlier, trying so hard to be patient, you know. It's not that. It isn't like that. It isn't the striving. But there is a sense of resting into it. Like there, that verse in Hebrews that says, I strive to rest. That is so our brains have a hard time to get it around that. But that's what the Holy Spirit's offering us, is this ability. If I am willing to set myself down, I often will say that to myself, stand down. Because I want to just try. I want to keep trying to do it or be it. And God's saying, let me be it. Let me do it through you. Yeah. Big difference.
Yeah. And I think another thing that the analogy of the fruit on the tree really did for me was I always felt like I had to be giving out my fruit, like throwing it at people. Like, you need to have this. But really, it's growing there, uh-huh. and people come and take it. Uh-huh. And how beautiful that can be, because just the way you're living your life is leading people and to the truth. And you're able to say, the reason I have this is because of God and opening the door to God.
In my book, Flow Through Vessel, I talk about how fruit typically will take a whole season to develop, right? It goes from seed to blossom and then finally fruit and then finally ripe fruit where you can eat it. But there, because of how the Holy Spirit has set this up inside of us, we can actually produce fruit in a second. And how that happens is that all the, let's say, patience fruit has been eaten. I find myself without patience in a situation where someone's wanting to pick patience off of my fruit. And so then I just have learned to just say this to God right in that moment, just say, God, I have no patience for so-and-so right now, but you do. I need some of yours. Yeah. And in that moment, He can flow a fully ripe fruit of patience through me that had no time to gestate or anything. It just, boom, comes. It's just miraculous.
Yes, that's wonderful.
It's such a beautiful way to live. Yeah.
Right.
Another thing about your eye was insights. The Holy Spirit does give us insights. I have a timer that I set when I'm not on air and not in a meeting. I set a timer for 20 minutes at a time. And when it goes off, I just check in with God and I say, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now? And then I just reset it. And a lot of times God will just say, call somebody or do this right now, or stop, put that aside, or as soon as you're done with this, change directions. It's so wonderful to have the Holy Spirit to help us. And again, it's that whole, it's not me trying to do everything right. It's me setting my mind on doing what He's calling me to do. And does it take a little, it takes effort for me to stand down from just doing what I would do without Him, doing what I would do if He wasn't here. I will just do that.
Yeah.
But I want to do what I will do with Him, with the insights that He gives me, with the help and the direction that He provides.
And a lot of times I just think of those insights as promptings, right? Just
absolutely.
Yeah. Just, I would never have thought of that, but that's a wonderful idea.
Exactly. Exactly. And his timing, again, back to the timing, is so good. M is for my purpose and significance.
Yeah. Yeah. And really my purpose and significance is really to stand and know that I'll climb. So this, this whole journey, this whole, what I've learned really has provided me with my significance in life, and which is just an amazing feeling, because for so long I felt lost. I felt like I was floundering in life, didn't have a sense of direction. But the evidence and what I've learned has provided me that direction to what I call true north. And I know what I need to do. I know that what I need to do is stand. So it's really provided me that purpose and significance.
I love that reality that when God created you, when God created me, when God created you guys, he strung together 3 billion base pair of DNA in a particular way. And just like the manufacturer of a home has a different vision for it than the manufacturer of a bicycle, but both of them have a purpose and they meet needs. So it is that you, Natalie, me, Marnie, you guys, we're all created specifically to meet specific needs, to do works that God set for us before we were ever born. And when he created us, he put that exact set of DNA in us to make us want to be a nurse or an author or a garbage collector or whatever it is that he created us to do and find fulfillment in. And that's how the world goes around. And it is so beautiful when you get to the point where you can actually say, I have a purpose in Christ. Mm-hmm. I am significant. I am meaningful. Whatever it is that he's called and created me to do, that's where I'm going to find my joy, is in doing that.
There's nothing better than that.
There isn't. No. And doing, for me to try to do what you do and find joy in it isn't going to work.
Right.
Yeah. It is really finding your own purpose in Christ. And then that leads us to the B. And it's so important for us to be before we do, to actually just be who God's created us to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And the B for me stands for bold faith. And that is just something that I have really had to develop and grow. But wow, is it amazing to be, to go out and really be able to feel confident about what I believe and why I believe it is, has provided me that bold faith and really made a huge difference in my life.
You wrote the book Navigating True North. It is kind of your story, as well as the evidence that you've collected to help others to have a bold faith. And what are some of the things that people have told you after they've read the book? What are some of the things that people have told you that they appreciated about it or got out of it?
Yeah. So one of the things that I point out in my book is that so often what we're taught or told to believe growing up really kind of leads us in a direction of what I call magnetic north, because on the mountain, there's two directions for north. There's one that's magnetic north, which is led by the forces of the world and which your compass finds, but there's also a true north that never changes. So I think for a lot of people, was really just the okay, it was okay to say, I was kind of being led in the wrong direction. I was told that the ways of the world were going to bring me success and happiness and fulfillment, but they didn't. I was told that I was going to find relationship with God by just going to church and believing what religion told me. But what I really needed was to find relationship with God.
Yeah.
So I think that's where most people are really resonating with the book and saying, I do need to understand what I believe and why I believe it and make sure I'm pointed in that direction of truth.
And then for me, the minimal facts, I'm just loving the assurance again. I just had a conversation with somebody just an hour ago or so. And she was talking about how she tends to be a perfectionist and how God's calling her to step out from where he has her right now. It takes so much courage, right? Because we want to get it all You know, we're kind of all Pharisees that when it comes right down to it, we want to look really good and appear really good and look like we have our act all together and just seem like everything's so perfect. But God is not looking for a Pharisee. He's really looking for a heart that just says, you are true. I trust you. Here we go. Where are you going to lead me? And I even see myself, I see myself so much as a toddler, just holding on to my daddy's hand. Yeah. And there's a verse in Revelation that says that he will open the doors for us. And I think of that a lot. I don't want to go pushing doors open. I want to just toddle along with my dad and let him do the heavy lifting and me come along and be with him and experience life with him and his life through me. And I love what you've done here with this book and just with your life and your ministry to help women and help everybody have this better understanding of how to have a bold faith, a confident faith while being willing to step out in faith wherever God's calling them.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite verse or maybe a theme verse for life or anything like that?
Well, I think my favorite verse is seek first in Matthew. Okay. Uh-huh. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, uh-huh. and all these things will be added unto you. So to me, that's just so important that if we keep our focus on God, that if we follow the direction that he's given us, right? And that's the righteousness part. We need to follow that direction. Then everything else is going to be taken care of. So for me, that is, that's the verse I live by. It's one of the first things I want to think about every day. And the first step in stand. Mm-hmm.
As I think about that, I was thinking about there was a time when the money was such a big concern for me. And I kept praying about money every day. I was praying about money every day. And one day I was just convicted that, Marnie, if you would pray for souls as much as you would pray for money. But, you know, it's hard for us to get out from under the cares of the world, right? Yeah. It might be health, or it might be a wayward child, or an unloved spouse, or an unsaved spouse, or, you know, I mean, it might be some other care. For me at the time, it was money. But there's things that stand between us and having that seek first the kingdom. But it is as we seek God's kingdom, as we seek his work and his goals for us, that we really experience the abundant life that we've been talking about today.
Absolutely.
Wow, so wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. Such a delight to have you here. Love your book. You guys want to be sure to check out Navigating True North by Natalie Latzka. And also, if you are looking for a speaker, she's available to speak at your upcoming events over at womenspeakers.com. So thank you for being here, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Marnie.
And thanks, you guys, for being here. I hope to see you again soon. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.